Sure, thank the Lord for that. Appreciate the singing. Turn to Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147, verse 3. I was singing the other day about this particular subject, and the thoughts that came to my mind, I thought, well, other people need to hear that also. So that's why I'm preaching this thought this morning. And if it does not apply to you now, it probably will one day. And it probably has already sometime in your life. Verse 3, the psalm said, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. I want to try to preach this morning on when I get hurt. When I get hurt, there's no doubt about it, sooner or later you're going to be hurt. Now this verse, no doubt deals with more than just someone hurting us, because it talks about healing the broken in heart. It talks about someone being broken down because of the circumstances of life. Life can get tough. It can be difficult. But it says that He heals that broken heart and He binds up the wounds. The word wounds has the idea of pain and sorrow that has been afflicted on us. And so many times it has been done that way, or it has come that way in our life because of something someone did, said, or didn't do. It has the idea of injury, of being hurt. And the word heart there, the broken in heart, is an interesting word. We think of a heart, of course, as our beating muscle in our body, and that's not what it's talking about for sure. And we think sometimes about our emotions and our feelings and that type of thing when we talk about our heart. It broke my heart. I love you with all my heart. And those things are true. And this word here, heart, does mean feelings. How we feel. This world's explanation of love is I love her so much. And it has the idea of feelings and emotions. And that's a part of what this word is saying. It also has the idea of will, of deciding what we will do, how we will handle it. It has the idea of will. It also has the idea of intellect or our thinking. And I want to draw from that the message this morning. What in the world do you do when you get hurt? I'll say it again, if you haven't, it's coming. Just, well, brace yourself. But I believe probably anybody living much in this world knows what it is to be hurt. I want to mention, number one, don't be baffled. That may sound strange. Well, you ought to get used to me using weird things. Baffled. I mean by that, someone will say, what in the world? Why did this happen to me? Why did God let this happen? Now, in this verse, the implication is this is a godly person. This is not Jonah while he's running from God. This is not somebody like Ahab who cares nothing for God, who has been hurt. This is a godly man who has been hurt by something that's happened in their lives. And if we aren't careful, especially if we're trying to do right and serve God and please Him, when we get hurt by something or someone, it will baffle us. It will confuse us. Why in the world did this happen? And why did it happen to me? You see, sometimes when we get hurt, our worst enemy is not the one that hurt us, but ourselves. In what we think and how we handle how we've been hurt. All of a sudden, the battle is not outside and external, even though there is one. The battle comes inside, and we start in our mind, start thinking, I don't think I deserve this. Again, the implication of the word heart deals with our emotions, how we feel. And our thoughts, oh my, trouble there, what we think. But it also deals with our desires, what we want. We want to get even. We want things to be better. We don't want our heart broken. We don't want to be mistreated or abused. So there's a battle in our mind. I say, first, don't be baffled. Don't get baffled. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if you know anything about when you got hurt and that those thoughts just bounce around in your mind and you think one thing and the other, and I'll tell you what, you don't get much good done when your mind is baffled. We need to realize that our thoughts are so important. We need to realize how important it is that we think godly things. There are times, talking about not being baffled, confused, wrong in how we think or act. There are times that the whole thing is a misunderstanding. And I believe in this setting today, this atmosphere that we're in, for we are in church. And we come in and there's almost a fear of getting close to somebody and you can't shake hands and some wear masks and there's this epidemic still going on and you don't know how to really reach out and talk, and I am so tired of it. I am so tired of it. I want to get back where we can shake hands and hug and talk to people face to face again. But in this atmosphere especially, there's a standoffish kind of attitude. By the way, you visitors, don't think we do this all the time. Hang around a while, you'll find out we like people. But we can, hey, here's what I'm saying. Jim can come in, and maybe Jim's just had a bad morning. Or maybe Jim's got a lot on his mind. He's carrying burdens, and he comes in, and he's a little bit down. And sure as the world, Ralph sees Jim and says, well, I don't know what's wrong with Jim this morning. I think he's mad at me. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If he's going to act like that, I'm not speaking to him. He didn't speak to me, and I ain't speaking to him if he's not going to speak to me. And from a misunderstanding, the next time they come to church, and Jim's doing better now, but now Ralph's mad at Jim because he thinks Jim mad at him. And all I'll tell you, from a misunderstanding, trouble can come. But sometimes it's really wrong. Somebody really did something wrong. So I want to say this morning, first, don't get baffled. Make sure that you don't let the devil trip you up. And especially ask yourself, why did this happen to me? Number one, what should we do when we get hurt? Don't get baffled. I think number two, don't get bitter. Notice again in this word, heart, it has the idea of feelings. Our emotions, how we feel about things. And I want to tell you one thing. When you really get hurt or somebody really mistreats you or they don't do you right, there is the overwhelming emotions, if we aren't careful, to get angry about it and to get bitter about it. And I'll tell you one thing, you know it yourself, it will eat you up. It can consume us. And that bitterness is anger undealt with. That's anger that's stuck up inside. And that bitterness will grow and worsen, and it literally poisons our entire spiritual system. And I want to tell you one thing. It hurts when that happens. It hurts when it stays in and simmers. And guess what? The person who wronged us, it doesn't hurt them a bit. If I get bitter, now they may know I'm not treating them the same or I'm not as friendly as I was or something like that. But most of the time, they don't really care anyway. So you're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself by letting bitterness set in. Here's what the Lord said. Be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'll tell you one thing, He sure did forgive me an awful lot. And I didn't deserve it, and I still don't deserve it, but I'm glad that He did. And now He says, since I have, you do. Since I forgave you and all the wrong you did to me. And I didn't say, whoa, 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 no, sir, I'm not forgiving you, not after you did what you did to me. not after you treated me like you treated me. He forgave willingly and quickly, and he wanted to. And he did it completely. Number one, don't get baffled. Why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? Number two, don't get bitter. Don't let that anger stay inside. I'll tell you one thing, it'll be hard to not let it, but don't let it. With God's help, you can. Then number three, don't get bound. Is there that word heart? Has the idea of intellect, of thinking. Of thinking. Oh, my. Our worst enemy is our mind. The devil's playground, the devil's tool is our mind. By the way, so is the Lord's tool. He wants to use our mind for his glory and his honor and to help us. But the devil, if we let him, will use our mind, what we think and how we think. And listen, it, whatever the it is, the it is what they did. The it is the way they're acting. The it is what they've done. Whatever the it is, if we ain't careful, that it will control us instead of us controlling it. It will control us instead of us controlling it. Everybody's going to get hurt. Everybody's going to be mistreated. But how are we going to handle it? Don't get bound. Well, I'll tell you one thing, we can get so bound down and so consumed about what somebody did or didn't do. And it's real, listen, I'm not belittling it. But we can get so bound by what is going wrong that we miss what's going right. We miss his blessings because we're so focused on the bad things that somebody has done or hasn't done. And we get so heavy that we can't enjoy God's blessings. Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Yes, that's true. How we think. Don't get bound. Don't let it stay in your mind. Don't play it over and over and over. We make it worse when we do that. Don't be bound. Don't get bound. Genesis 50, verse 20. Oh, my, what a verse. Joseph, who had been sold by his own brothers and taken as a slave, and then he was, so he's mistreated by his brothers, and then he's lied on by someone, Potiphar's wife, and then he's forgotten by the person who says, "Oh yeah, I remember you." So I'm telling you, for years, Joseph went through misery from being a slave to prison to the palace. I mean, the man has gone through misery, and much of it, if not all of it, because humanly speaking, was because someone did him wrong. And here's what he said at the end of the story. "But as for you, brothers, one that started the whole mess, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Don't get so bound up of what's happened. Don't get so bound up with what they did to forget there's a God in charge of this, and he can bring good about it, even though it breaks my heart. His good attitude, Joseph's good attitude, kept getting him promoted. In the midst of being wronged, he didn't get bound up, and he served God, and he did right, and God promoted him. What happens when I get hurt? What should happen? Don't get baffled. Don't get bitter. Don't get bound. Don't get beaten. That word hard means will. Will has the idea of what I will do, of course, with the Lord's help, or what I will do not asking the Lord to help. I don't want to lose. I don't like to lose. I don't like to lose. I love to win. And most people I know don't like to be beaten. And my point here, listen to this. This will make you happy for a second. I am saying don't let them win. And somebody says, "All right." Oh, but listen. Winning means they win means they are controlling me. And what they did is controlling me instead of the Holy Spirit controlling me. Don't let that happen. Don't be beaten. Don't let it get to your will. to where you're doing what you want to do, what feels right, what everyone else would do, instead of what God wants you to do. Don't be beaten. Don't let it control you. Don't try and get even. So I've said what we shouldn't do. Let me look at what we should do when we get hurt. Number one, what should I do? What can I do when I get hurt? Number one, realize. Realize in that verse, he says, he healeth the broken in the heart and bindeth up their wounds. Realize there's a God who loves you. And you know what? I use this word carefully. He is angered more by them wronging you than you are. The only thing is his anger's right and ours probably isn't. Realize you have a God who loves you. Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. I say again, God loves you and he's angered in the right way. He has not ignored, he has not overlooked. He knows, he cares that they hurt you if they did. He knows how they're doing. Listen, the shepherd loves his sheep. And when a wolf comes, that shepherd stands for a sheep. But I thought this morning, sometimes the sheep get disturbed with each other. And the shepherd is just as broken heart when a sheep, maybe more so, when a sheep does wrong to a sheep than when a wolf does wrong to a sheep. Realize, what should I do when I get hurt? Number one, realize my God does care. My God is near. My God is able. He does love me. And he did not let this slip by him. There's a reason. Jesus said at one time, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and be thrown into the sea than for you to offend one of my little ones. Now, maybe he's talking about little children there, I don't know, but I believe it also can be expanded to little ones in the family. In other words, he doesn't like it when you're mistreated. He doesn't like it when we're mistreated or when we're hurt. And so we need to realize the importance. See, it hurts him, but he's not going to act wrongly. He's going to handle it rightly. Number one, realize. Realize there's a God who loves you, and he is not pleased when somebody does you wrong. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things do the Lord hate. You know, the Bible doesn't talk a whole lot about God hating, but he hates these things. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Sure does sound serious. Here's the things that he lists that he hates. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. He says, there's some things I hate. By the way, if someone has wronged you, it's gotten God's attention. And he doesn't like it. I say, he said he hates it. So realize you are not alone. You have somebody to help you. Number one, realize. Number two, remember. What am I supposed to do when I get hurt? Realize, number one, I still got God to trust. And I know I can trust him. He loves me. He hasn't forsaken me. He hasn't forgotten me because something bad has happened in my life. Number one, realize. Number two, remember. Wonder what does that mean? It means remember. You ain't perfect either. We have done probably the same thing and maybe even worse than what they've done. So we need to realize I am flesh too. I have failed also. And there's a good chance I've done the same type of thing or maybe something just as bad. So we are all in the same boat. Realize that person is a person. What they did may be wrong. It may be despicable. It may have cut you to the core. But that person is a person who has a flawed flesh just like me. It does not excuse them, but it does explain them. Understand, we are all in the same boat, And therefore, we need to remember, maybe I ought to understand it just a little bit. What should I do when I get hurt? Number one, realize. Number two, remember. Number three, reconcile. Oh, no, 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 please. I don't want to reconcile. I want to bust their skull. I want to make them pay. I'm not interested in making it right. I want to make it right with my fist. They have hurt me so much, I want to make them hurt. Reconcile. Listen to me. Biblically speaking, which we are supposed to be that type of people, it's always best to reconcile. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes they won't let you. Sometimes there's been breaks. Sometimes there's been bridges burnt to where a true reconciliation is impossible. But when it can happen, reconcile, which means to get things right. Matthew, Jesus said, be first reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. He says, if you come and offer a gift and you realize there's a brother that's got something against you, you got something against him, first go and be reconciled. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus said, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. There are some times we have to go talk to them. I'll deal with that in just a minute, maybe. And he says, if you have a problem with someone and you go and talk to them about it and you get it settled, you've gained that brother back. There's been reconciliation. There's been restoration. Reconciliation, by the way, to reconcile does not mean you forget it. Well, in our mind, we think, if I forgive them, if I reconcile, it's them getting away with it. They're getting away with how they treated me. There is no consequences to what they've done. That ain't what that means one bit. Reconciliation means forgiveness, but it does not mean that they're getting away with what they've done. I guarantee you one thing, there's a God in heaven who will make sure they don't get away with it. It may look like it to us, but it ain't. Let it go. What should we do when we get hurt? Realize, remember, reconcile. Then the next one, respond. I preached a message one time on the difference between reacting and responding. Now, I love to react. Something happens, boom! Just whatever emotion, whatever thought, whatever word, whatever action comes to my mind, just do it. That's reaction. But we are not to be reactors. We're to be responders. Responding means I pray through, you pray through, we think through what's right. Lord, tell me what's right. And then we respond correctly. We respond in a biblical manner. We don't react, we respond. We do it, oh my, God's way instead of my way. Promise you, my way's going to make it worse. My way of handling any issue, especially somebody who's wronged me, I guarantee you my way is going to make matters worse. I may feel better, but it doesn't settle the issue. It makes it worse. You may have to go and talk to them. Did you hear what I said? You may need to go and talk to them. That means you may. I didn't say that accidentally. Always, we don't have to discuss everything that comes up. The Bible teaches, in essence, I'm convinced that if it's something that we can just push aside, pray about, push aside, and get over it. Can I use those words? I don't see a need to go and talk about it and take the chance of making things worse. Now, here's what you do and what I should do is pray. And ask the Lord, do I need to talk to them? Or should I just let it go? Should I just trust you? What should I do? Pray, respond, which means first, I pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as you can, with God's help, live peaceably with everybody. But he also implies there, you can't with everybody, because some people ain't going to let you. And if they don't want to, that's up to them. Don't let it control you. Respond. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know that? conversation starts at this level, and they say something, and this person responds with a little higher level, a little louder, a little meaner. And this person responds, or I should say reacts, with a little higher, a little louder, a little meaner, and he keeps going up, 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 up. Before long, you're screaming and hollering, maybe, about nothing. But it says there a soft answer turneth away wrath. Be sure and be careful about how you say anything if you're to go to them. Plan ahead, pray. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm talking about how do I respond. Number one, I pray, and if I can, I just forget it or ignore it or push it aside. If I can't, if it's too big, I go to them, but I'm praying and I'm going with a thought in mind and my words in my mind to where I know that I'm responding and not reacting. And with soft voices and tender voices, we talk. But then he says, do not avenge yourself. Don't make them pay. Don't try to get vengeance. You know why? Because I said it already, we'll make matters worse. But the real reason that verse is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'll make sure it gets settled. Oh, I know. It doesn't seem like he's doing anything. It doesn't seem like he said a word. Doesn't seem like he's just letting it go. I'm listening. You leave that with the Lord. Responding means we do not avenge ourselves. We do not try to get even. We do not do to them what they did to us. We just trust the Lord. Romans 12:21, and be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let their evil overcome you, but overcome their evil by being good. Whoo, this just keeps getting better and better, don't it? Romans 12:20, therefore thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That coals of fire is a discussable subject. I'm convinced, and I'll say it this way, you don't have time to deal with it. It's doing them good that melts their heart and helps them realize that what they did was wrong or that you're responding in the right way, and it melts their heart. He said, don't try to get even. He says, even your enemy, treat him right. By the way, can I remind us? That's what God does. He treats his enemy right. Now, there's no doubt he's judging and he's holy and he'll deal with sin. But I promise you one thing, there's nobody in this building that has gotten what we deserve from God. He has been good to us. And sometimes his goodness, listen, his goodness is a means whereby we see our need to get right. Here's what the Bible said, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God. God's been so good to me, and I haven't been good to him. And I believe that same principle can be used in our life. So I'll say this. Realize, remember, reconcile, respond, and then rely. Rely on God. Trust him. Colossians 3:25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he have done, and there is no respect to persons. God said, I will make sure they pay if they've done you wrong. And he said, by the way, there's no respect to persons. I don't care who they are, what they've done in the past. If they're wrong, I'll make sure to settle it. And by the way, this shouldn't be, well, I tell you one thing, God's going to get them. I'm so glad. Boy, I can't wait. No, we ought to be brokenhearted. Rely on the Lord. Trust him. Depend on him. Your God can handle it. Your God can help you to know what to do. And your God can go before you or even work without you to touch them. Give it time. Give him time. Don't say, okay, it's 10 minutes to 12. I'll give you to 3 o'clock this afternoon. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. Give him the time he needs. When working with people, it usually takes time. And then lastly, we need to realize, remember, reconcile, respond, rely, and I love this, relieve. Just let it go. Turn it over to the Lord. Well, I'll tell you one thing, especially when somebody that we care about has hurt us or isn't doing right, it is so overwhelming and so hurtful and so harmful, it can devastate us. But when we come to the point where we say, Lord, I'm relying on you, and get that relief of letting it go, that relief of saying, Lord, whatever you do with this situation is okay with me. It is now in your hands. What a relief that is. What a freedom that is. When we ever get to the point where we say, Lord, in this situation, I am giving it to you, and whatever you want to do, if you want to bless them, if they become a millionaire overnight, so be it. And if they go down, I'm not going to rejoice about it because I care. Relieve. Listen to me. Don't let anyone control you so much that it controls your life. No matter who it is, what they've done, don't let them control you and your emotions and your will. You can love them anyway. Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then I thought about this verse and I'm done. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. One of these days, if you're saved, you're going to get a good relief. It is all going to be behind us. And we need to live now with that expectation of one day it really isn't going to matter then as much as it does now. And if it's not going to matter much then, it shouldn't matter as much now. We'll all be hurt. We'll all be disappointed. But by the way, we have hurt others, and we have disappointed others also. And how we handle it is so important, and it matters. Now I want to say to those who aren't even saved, friend, I want to tell you, you're in a world of trouble. You're in a world of disagreements, a world of difficulties, and you'll never have the peace that you long for unless you know the Lord. There's no way in the world. And listen, I used to have friends. When I was lost, I had a bunch of friends. I talked to a fellow yesterday that I hadn't seen since I was probably 18 years old. And I said, you probably don't remember me, but I am the one that bought your car. And he said, oh, Smokey. And years, and he knew who I was. By the way, I'm not quite as physically, I look a little different. Had a lot of friends, but I found out something. Most of the time, they're fair weather friends. If you're not saved today, so important. I'm telling you, this world's coming unglued. I'm telling you, I'm surprised the Lord didn't come yesterday. And if you're not saved, when he comes, if you've heard the gospel at all, I don't think you'll have a chance to get saved. But it may not be the Lord's return. It may be your death. You may feel like you're as healthy. You may be healthy right now. Hey, God doesn't have to have cancer to take our lives. All he's got to do is, and our life is gone. And he loves you enough to send his son for you. Why don't you accept his son this morning and let him forgive you? Let's stand together.